In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Today is the beginning of our salvation. The revelation of eternal mystery, the Son of God becomes the Son of the Virgin, as Gabriel announces the coming of grace. Together with him, let us cry to the Theotokos, rejoice, O full of grace, the Lord is with you. This is our troparia we've been singing. The Most Holy Virgin inspires us to offer her a word of praise. It's the praise of the glory that she brings to women, their gender. She is also the one who is both a mother and a virgin at the same time. You know, we had that talk by Tim McFadden about gender. And the whole thing was, as he started to look at Scripture, was the glory of women in the Scriptures. The reality, too, not just in the Bible, but the reality of it all. And not in some, like, weird way or whatever, just the way it is. And the Theotokos, we see like, the fullness of that, this glory of what it is. So the Holy Mother of God, the Virgin Mary, has gathered us here. She is the pure treasure of virginity, the place where the union of natures, divine and human, is accomplished, the beginning of our reconciliation with God. The beginning. I said it last night, but it just, the visual for me is so good that the icon we have out of the Annunciation is the first icon in the iconostasis, the empty space. I took it down and put it over there. And if the iconostasis was, 50 feet wide, the first icon would still be that icon. That's the beginning of our salvation. When the angel Gabriel comes and speaks to Mary, and Mary says yes, this is the beginning. This is it. This is the incarnation. This is the 9 months to Christmas. 9 months to Nativity of Christ. Who has ever seen, who has ever heard that the limitless God could dwell in a womb? He whom the heavens can't circumscribe is now limited by the womb of a virgin. This is the mystery. He who is born of a woman is not just God and not just man. He's the inescapable God-man. And I love that when we did the iconography, we have this more spacious than the heavens icon of the Theotokos. She's called more spacious than the heavens because she has God in her womb. She must be more spacious than the heavens, just on that fact alone. And you know, when the former Metropolitan Joseph stood for the first time at the altar before the icons, first time to see the icons in here, he said, "It looks like she wants to say something to us." It's really sweet, kind of, you know? It's like, I think she wants to say something to us. Just kind of a passing remark, you know, not a theological, doctrinal kind of thing. He just said, that's what it looks like. And I think that she does. I think she wants to say something to us. And everything she has to say to us is always about her son. Always in relationship to her son. She's always calling us to say yes to the Lord. This is her life. This is her life, you know? And bringing people to him. So, he who in his divine nature is not subject to sufferings, through his love for us becomes subject to sufferings, to many of sufferings. We believe that Christ was not made God by some gradual ascent toward the divine nature. I'm going to read that again. We believe that Christ was not made God by some gradual ascent toward the divine nature, but being God, he became man through his mercy. We do not say a man was made God. We confess that God was incarnate and made man. He who in his divine essence did not have a mother chose Mary as mother. He who appeared on earth as man does not have an earthly father. In his essence, he's begotten of a father without a mother before all time, and in time, born of a mother without a father. It's just a mystery. I love it. He who by nature is Lord did not disdain human nature, enslaved by the power of the devil. The merciful God would not allow it to be under the power of the devil forever. We say this, you know, this is the only liturgy in all of Lent that's St. John Chrysostom's liturgy. So all the other liturgies are St. Basil the Great, and or Gregory the Pope of Rome for pre-sanctified. So, but this is the only St. John Chrysostom. In the St. Basil liturgy that we have on Sundays, we'll have on other days, this is the way it reads. This is the way it sounds. You know, he could not bear to see us, like, enslaved to the devil. He couldn't bear it. God just couldn't bear it. The ever-existing one came and gave his blood in ransom. To redeem the race of man from death, he gave up his body, which he had accepted from the Virgin. He delivered the world from the curse of the law, annihilating death by death. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. That's how St. Paul puts it in Galatians. Jesus is the inescapable God-man. The one whom the angels bow down and worship, reclined at a table with publicans. The seraphim dared not gaze upon him, yet Pilate pronounced a sentence upon him. He was nailed to the cross and ascended to the throne of glory. He was placed in a tomb, the one who stretched out the heavens like a curtain. He was numbered among the dead, and he emptied hell. Here on earth, they cursed him as a transgressor, and there in heaven, they glorified him as the All-Holy. It's an incomprehensible mystery. It's the miracle. It's the miracle, we confess, that he is God. We see his sufferings, but we can't deny that he's God and man. He's opened the door of nature as man, and as God, he's preserved the seal of virginity intact. He was wondrously conceived and wondrously born. Jesus. As the prophet Ezekiel says concerning this, he brought me back to by the way of the outer gate of the sanctuary that looks eastward, and it was shut. And the Lord said to me, this gate shall be shut, it shall not be opened, and no one shall pass through it. For the Lord God of Israel shall enter by it, and it shall be shut. And then I just want to say this, like, other amazing passage that we had is the first reading of the Old Testament tonight about the burning bush. And Moses is going, he's on Horeb, a place you can visit. And an angel of the Lord appears to him in the flames of fire in the midst of the bush. And he looks, and behold, the bush burned with fire and was not consumed. It's a burning bush that's just burning, and it's not burning up, but it's burning. And Moses said, I'll turn aside and see this great sight, which I always think is like Bible talk, but... because I'm not sure he goes, I will turn aside and see this thing, you know. But anyway, it does say that's what he said. I'll turn aside and see this great sight. Why the bush is not burnt. This is the mystery. There's a bush on fire and it's not burning up. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, the Lord called it out to him from the midst of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, what is it, Lord? He said, don't come any closer. Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy sandals from thy feet. For the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. You know, the monks in Canyonis don't wear shoes in the church. So when it's warm, they're in socks and slippers and stuff. They aren't in their work boots in the monastery in New Mexico. But when it's warm, you're standing at the altar barefoot with the abbot. This is like 7 feet tall. It's got big feet and stuff. And there's a real sense of this. Like the holiness of the place. The place where they're standing is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I'm the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Moses turned away his face. He was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said to Moses, I've surely seen the affliction of my people And it goes on, I'll deliver them out of the Egyptians and bring them out of the land and lead them to a good land, you know, flowing with milk and honey. When the church had to choose Old Testament readings for the Annunciation and the Mother of God, this was the easiest one for them to pick. It was the simplest one. It's like, we need a good Old Testament reading. Burning bush. That's the Mother of God. That's the Theotokos. She's carrying God in her womb, and it doesn't destroy her. You know, the Holy One, Moses couldn't look on him, and Mary is going to nurse him. Incredible. She's the burning bush. She's the one where the flame of fire is in her, and she is not consumed, more spacious than the heavens. She really has called us together, and I think she does have something to say to us. And it's always about her son. It's always about faithfulness. It's always about obedience. It's always about love and longing and eagerness. It's about striving. It's about following. It's about being single-minded. It's always about keep your eyes on Christ. It's always that. And she intercedes for us. I'll end with this. She intercedes for us always. There's a beautiful icon on Mount Athos. My son had it. John had it with him during the procession yesterday that he bought on Athos, of an icon of the Mother of God, where she has her hand grasping Jesus' hand, pulling it away from her mouth. It's incredible. I'll share the full story some other time, but it's an icon of, you know, of Jesus as a child, this icon, like the sweet kissing where they're close, and he has gone to like cover her mouth, and she's like grabbed a hold of it, and she's holding his hand now. And then the story, and I'll give you all the details some other time, but the story is that the icon was moving and then stopped that way. And that's the icon, that she has something to say to us. So listen up. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.